All right. Hello, folks. Welcome to the 12th episode now of the Hawks Watch podcast. This is your host, James Arnold. I am coming to you here on almost the anniversary of this podcast. First episode was on June 17th, 2024. Today, it is June the 10th, 2025. So almost 1 year that I've been doing this podcast, and you know, I just want to take a moment, thank you to everyone that's listened, and especially, you know, everyone that's coming back and listening to each episode. Really appreciate that. I've enjoyed doing it, and you know, hopefully you've enjoyed listening as well. You know, to any new listeners as well, just to kind of, you know, give you an idea of what this podcast is all about. So you know, we do an episode, or I should say I, for now at least, I do an episode, you know, once a month. I try to keep them around 30 minutes. I, you know, take a look back at what's happened since the last episode with the Hawks, and, you know, what's happening currently and what's going to be happening that we're, you know, looking forward to in the near future. You know, so I cover that. I sprinkle in here and there a little bit of my analysis and perspective, as I do, you know, follow the team quite closely. I'm not a, you know, reporter or anything, but I follow a lot of the reporters, listen to a lot of talk around the Hawks, and, you know, do my own diligence. And yeah, so hopefully you enjoy my perspective. And again, it's really a place where you can come, you know, take 30 minutes out of your month and get an entire update around what's happening and what's going to be happening with the Hawks. So that is what we are doing again today. Obviously, the season ended. We'll take a look at that. You know, the front office shakeup that has happened. We'll also take a look as the NBA draft is coming up here in about 2 weeks. Take a look at the draft prospects that the Hawks could be looking at, and you know, what guys I want them to take a look at. And we'll also do a shorter preview around free agency and the offseason. So that's the three big topics for today. And without further ado, I'm going to play the music and hope you enjoy listening. Last episode, that was April 18th, I previewed the Heat versus Hawks elimination game. That game actually turned out to be an overtime game in which the Hawks lost. They were eliminated from making the playoffs, and, you know, that was a tough game. It didn't really matter much. You know, the Hawks weren't, you know, going to make it far in the playoffs, very likely. So, you know, it didn't matter all that much, but, you know, it was a disappointing loss. And, you know, a couple days after, Landry Fields was fired. He was the GM of the Hawks, and he was fired a couple days after the season ended, after the elimination loss. In his stead, Ansi Saleh was hired. Ansi was a hire last year from Golden State. You know, apparently they paid him quite well to bring him to Atlanta. From everything I've heard, he's a smart guy. His specialty is in the salary cap space. He's an expert with the new CBA that is, becoming increasingly a constraint and factor in team building around the NBA. So he, by all accounts, again, is more than capable and qualified for this role, and is apparently a very smart dude. So he's the GM. Along with that announcement, it was a little bit comical, but the Hawks kind of announced they would be looking for a high-profile, big-name guy to bring in as president of basketball operations, which is a position that would be above Auncey, the new GM. They announced they, are hiring a search firm and several high-level executive names started to be thrown around in rumors, both, present GMs, past GMs, but really nothing seemed to stick. And I thought it might play out like this when they announced the search, just because it, seems odd to announce it how they did. I mean, I'm not criticizing them, but it's odd to announce that, okay, hey, yeah, we want this big name guy to come in rather than just saying, hey, we're looking for a president of basketball operations. Everyone should expect that the Hawks would pick the best of the best that is available to them. And so I just think it's kind of weird to announce, oh, you're looking for this big profile name. Like, it's just odd. And there's a lot more important factors than just a big name and even experience, at sometimes, in my opinion. What was clear is, it seemed they wanted some experience around Auncey, since Auncey has never done the number one job before, even though, he is more than qualified, from everything that I've heard. After the announcement and the initial budge, it was then quiet for several weeks. But just yesterday, the Hawks announced two more hires to the front office. They announced they're hiring Pelicans GM Bryson Graham to be the team's senior vice president of basketball operations. They also announced they're going to be hiring 76ers executive Peter Dinwiddie as the senior vice president of strategy and analytics. So, those two guys, again, Bryson Graham, Peter Dinwiddie, they're probably names that most people listening to this podcast have probably not heard. But I do personally think it, these are significant and positive moves for the Hawks. From what I've heard, Bryson Graham was the main draft guy in the Pelicans organization in recent years. He's, apparently played an instrumental role in, finding a lot of these picks in the middle of the draft that, worked out a lot better than most would expect. Like Trey Murphy, fell to the Pelicans. They grabbed him. Naji Marshall, even Dyson Daniels, who's now a part of the Hawks. He was drafted by the Pelicans. Herb Jones was another guy that he found. Jose Alvarado from Georgia Tech, another guy, and the list goes on. So, needless to say, for Auncey, who is a new GM, it's huge to bring in, this other GM that's, been a scout guy, talent evaluator. It's just good to have, that right before the Hawks are making two first round selections here in a couple weeks in the draft. So, definitely good to bring him in for the experience and the talent that he has for scouting and evaluating, players in the draft. They also hired the other guys. Peter Dinwiddie apparently also has a great reputation around the league. And it really seems like the Hawks have surrounded the new GM, Onsi, with, real high-level experience, which, was seemingly their objective with the President of Basketball Operations search and role. It seems their hires were about as good as an outcome as you could ask for. So, I'm happy with those two hires. I don't know if they're, still gonna hire a guy above Onsi to the President of Basketball Operations role, but I mean, with the draft coming up in 2 weeks, it doesn't seem very likely. And, these two hires do seem like that kind of fills the fills the hole or meets the objective of what the Hawks wanted out of the president of basketball operations role, which seems like what they wanted was just someone to help Onsi, to have someone to bounce ideas off of, as these are guys that have real experience and talent in and of themselves. So I think they're good additions to the front office. Probably not something I'm going to speak much more on in the future, but wanted to give that, as I did think it was truly a significant positive outcome. Let's move on to the draft. So the Hawks have picks 13 and 22 in the upcoming draft. The draft is in 15 days on the 25th. And what they do now is actually do first round on one day, and then they wait and do second round on the second day. So I guess it's the 25th through the 26th. But either way, both of the Hawks picks that they have right now are on the 25th in 15 days here. So there is a lot of guys that the Hawks could be evaluating here, just between, picks number 13 and 22. There's probably a list of 30 guys that they're looking at. So I'm just going to cover a few that I think are going to be there at each pick, or are potentially going to be there. Okay, at number 13, starting with Derek Queen. He is a center, really offensively skilled. He has defensive questions, and he's like a hub type of center. Really skilled offensively. Actually struggles with his shot a little bit though. So he's more of a shot creator type center. A lot of people think he has really high upside, but due to his physical limitations and, awkward build, I would say, he's a guy that could potentially drop down to 13, even though, a lot of people have him top five on the board. So if he falls to the Hawks, it's, I don't think he's gonna fill this year the backup center role. But he could be a guy that you just have to take at that point. As he's likely at 13 the best player that is available to you, even if he's not, the perfect fit with your team right now in the direction. Like, he might be a guy that they just have to take, and because that provides the most value. Another guy that might not be there but is right in that range is Carter Bryant. He's a 6'9 forward who is, really, really good defensively, has a lot of athletic ability, shot 39% from three in college. He didn't play much where he was, I believe at Arizona. He came off the bench, but so his counting stats aren't great, but his metrics, advanced stats, I would say, look really good. He has, again, the athleticism that you would want. He's, big, physical, can shoot. Some people liken him to an OG Anunoby type, for, an NBA comparison. Of course, there's no telling whether he's going to become as good as OG. OG's a really, really good player in this league. So, no telling, what he's going to become. You can't exactly predict that, but he has the tools, the defensive ability, the shooting to be a really good 3-and-D player in this league. He can guard on the perimeter, even, moves his feet laterally really well. So he'd be interesting for the Hawks, as a team that, like every team, needs a little bit more forward depth and will always take a 6'9", 3-and-D type guy. So he'd be a really interesting pick at number 13. Some other guys that might be available, Thomas Sorber. So there's, a faction of Hawks fans that, really happened last year as well, which is why if if you were listening back then or are going to go back and listen, I was talking a lot about Klingon, Sar, and centers, because a lot of Hawks fans really want the Hawks to take a center in the draft because they have concerns about the backup center position, as we're, likely going to be losing or letting Clint Capella go somewhere else in free agency. Thomas Sorber. So he's a 6'9 center. The thing about Thomas Sorber, he wouldn't be my favorite pick, at 13. And the reason why is he, is a little bit undersized at center. I mean, he's 6'8, 6'9. That's not an issue per se, but with a Okongwu, you probably want a backup center that is a little bit bigger. And that's not even the main reason that I'm not, super high on taking Sorber at 13. It's because he plays under the rim, and I went, looked at a little bit of his film and was listening to something, and someone had mentioned this as a concern, specifically, with the Hawks and just, him being an effective NBA player long term. He doesn't have a lot of athletic burst, and so he's not able to get above the rim, finish lobs easily. He plays, more under the rim, more finesse type finishes, and he's pretty good. He might be able to shoot it, but he's not like a home run type pick in any area. And especially with the Hawks, I'm just like, okay, I don't know that that's the solution to backup center that we need, and likely he's not going to be the best player available at at 13, in my opinion, at least. I've got one more that I want to cover here at 13, and I'll be quick here, but a favorite of a lot of people in this draft is a guy named Colin Murray Boyles. He is an uber athletic, wing guard slash wing type player. He does struggle with his shot. He's not a good shooter, but he's a good shot creator, has good handle, is an exceptional defender. I guess he's, well, actually, he's more of a forward than a guard. Sorry, I should say he's a forward type player, and he, can play the three, the four. He's, gonna be really good defensively. He's similar to Jalen Johnson in how, he's super athletic. He can pass, he can dribble a little bit. Again, the question for him is really the shot. So in that regard, he's not, a perfect fit with the Hawks, as, shooting is one of the areas in which the Hawks need, they're lacking in shooting a little bit. That fit would not be the best, but he's still a guy that, his talent, again, kind of like Derrick Queen, you just gotta take him if he falls to 13. So we'll see if he falls or, what happens with him. But, that's another guy that, I'd be, okay with them taking there at 13. Moving on to pick 22, there's actually so many guys in this draft that are, similar in talent level that a lot of people at 13 could also potentially be there at 22. So a guy that goes, all across the board, from lottery to late first round, is a guy named Jace Richardson. He is 6 foot, 6'1" guard, elite shooter, really good scorer, not really, much of a passer, but he's really like a microwave combo guard scorer. Not the best fit with the Hawks. He's short, small, probably can't play too great with Trey. And I would have won him at pick 13. I, lean to him at 22, more if he's there available. But again, for the Hawks, probably not the best fit. And there's probably someone on the board at 22 that is a better player than him as well. So kind of like Sorber, not really keen on the Hawks taking him at 22 there, and definitely not at 13 for me. There's some more guys at 22. I mean, there's several guys. It's actually hard to narrow down the list. Asa Newell from Georgia. He's a popular, obviously from the area, played there at UGA, so 6'9" forward. I'm not super keen on taking him, but if he's there at 22, you might, that's pretty good value. So Noah Asenge, if I'm saying that right, he's from France, 6'10". He's another guy that kind of is mocked all around the board, but I think I'd lean more at 22. And not really so much at 13. He's again from France, 6'10". He's 18 years old. So this guy, he is a project. Like, he's not going to be ready to play on the bench even, right, for an NBA team year one. He's going to need some developing. He could turn into a, Giannis type player. I mean, he could be a monster athlete, really good player. He mainly scores in transition, from what I understand right now. I haven't really watched a whole lot of him, but if he was at 22, that's a guy you could definitely take, and I wouldn't be mad about that. You would just have to, go in with the understanding that, hey, this guy isn't going to help for a couple of years. Another guy that's similar to that, he, you know, I think he's more ready to play than Noah Senge, or Sengue, however you say it. Apologies, Noah. But there's a guy, he's a center, you know, going back to that. Hawks fans love to, you know, see what the best center they can draft is going to be. So at pick 22, there's a guy that could be there, Baron Shea. He's a center, super fast, rim-running guy, can finish above the rim. He would be catching lobs from Trey, Jalen, you know, with ease, 7'4 wingspan, 6'11 guy, also from France. He's also 18, so, you know, he's going to be a bit of a project as well. Going to take some time, but, you know, elite rim protector, versatile defensively, super fast. So I think he would be a really, really intriguing to pick at 22. So I would definitely consider him if he's there. Another guy, this guy, he's been moving up the boards like crazy. Like, apparently this is a guy that, you know, months ago, I mean, he wasn't even, you know, in draft talk. But Cedric Coward, he's from Washington State, 6'5 guard, elite shooter. He's a guy that, you know, you could just slot in and, you know, have him shooting threes. He's going to be a super, you know, plug and play type guy, which may be, you know, part of why he's rising so fast. But, you know, I haven't watched film, but everyone, you know, is saying he's a really good player, ready to go. So, you know, at pick 22, definitely could consider taking him. Wouldn't be mad at that. Some other guys, I'll just mention names, you know, Rashear Fleming, not too keen on taking him. Walter Clayton, again, you know, a small guard, good three-point shooter, just not someone that I'm looking to put next to Trae Young. And, you know, I honestly think he should be late first round or early second round. I think it's a little too high to pick him at 22. I don't think the upside is there for him. But yeah, I'm good. You know, that's mainly the guys I wanted to talk about. I know that was, you know, a lot of names, but hopefully, you know, you got something out of that. Those are the names, you know, on draft night that I would be looking for. Most of those guys, you know, the Hawks could certainly draft. So we shall see. I have a couple, you know, my favorites. I would say, again, Carter Bryant, Baron Shea, I think would be really interesting. Colin Murray Boyles, although not the best fit, it'd be cool if he was able to drop 213. I think Carter Bryant is a guy that's realistically going to be there. I would definitely pick him. And then Derek Queen, again, not a guy that I love the fit, but I mean, if he falls to 13, you just kind of got to take him if he's best player available there. So that's the draft. That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm hearing. And I will move on. We'll wrap up with a little talk about free agency and, you know, what moves after the draft we can start to expect to see, or, you know, what I'm looking for as well. So I believe free agency begins July 1st, a few days after the NBA draft. And so, you know, main item on the docket for me, Caris LeVert is going to be a free agent, unrestricted. Any team can talk to him and sign him July 1 when free agency starts. Apparently there's interest, and there's definitely should be from the Hawks side to re-sign him, as long as it's, you know, on a reasonable deal, because Caris, kind of slotted into that six man type role. He provides, good shooting, good defense, a little bit of shot creation, ball handling, an all-around guy, good, useful player, and the Hawks could certainly, use the ball handling, shot creation, scoring ability, and just having another, good wing defender, even if he's not, the biggest, bulkiest guy. He's, pretty good defender. So he's a super useful player, and there's going to be a big hole if they do not re-sign him. So now I'm not, not going to clamor for them to spend over 20 million on him, but as long as they can get him on a reasonable deal, somewhere from 15 to 18 million average annual value, that would be a good contract, and they should be trying to do everything they can to re-sign him to a reasonable deal. Someone else who is also a free agent is going to be Clint Capella. Personally, I think it is time to part ways with good old Clint Capella, a guy that's been around the team for several years. We had great moments with him. I think he's a great guy, very good player. He has aged and declined rapidly over the last year and a half. And that's just the reality of it. He is not that, as good a He's not that guy anymore. In 2021, that Eastern Conference Finals run, I mean, Clint Capella was peaking, elite defensively, rebounding. He's still a good rebounder, and I think he could be, a decent backup for someone in the league. Just, doesn't really fit the style that the Hawks play. And yeah, probably time for us to move on. From him, we could have Larry Nance come back and make him backup center, along with maybe a rookie that they draft, or another route they could go, which is another thing for this offseason, that I think is crucial for the Hawks, in addition to signing Caris LeVert, is using the mid-level exception. This is an exception you're able to use, every couple of years, sign a player to an MLE deal, regardless of where you are on the salary cap. So, you could sign, names out there like Steven Adams, who would be a great physical force and center to add to this team. If you're looking to add a center, Steven Adams would be great. But guys, that are in that mid-range where, they're not a star, but, you can pay them 20 something million a year. They're, put them in that DeAndre Hunter type category, potentially. Maybe even, you could get some better players than DeAndre, likely, on the MLE. So they should definitely use that. Definitely re-sign Caris LeVert if they're able to a reasonable deal. Use the draft picks well. And, hey, you've got a really solid team there. They've already got some depth. I'm sure there's going to be other moves, but for now, I'll leave you with that on the a little taste of a free agency primer, I should say. So yeah, that's what we can expect there. That's what I'm looking for, and hopefully, you've enjoyed this episode. Again, going over some draft guys, the front office shakeup, and a little look ahead to free agency. So, without further ado, I'll let the music roll. I appreciate everyone for listening. You can follow me on Hawks Watch Pod on Instagram, and then Hawks Watch 99 on Twitter, where I'm always, you know, tweeting out, you know, my perspectives and analysis on what's going on with the Hawks. So follow me there if you're interested. And again, thank you everyone for listening. You guys have a great night, or day, afternoon, morning, whenever you're listening to it. You guys take care.